Good morning to each one, and bring you greetings from the church in Siguatepeque, Honduras. It's good to be back here with you again. And we invite you all, anybody that has an opportunity, to come visit us there. We go through a lot of experiences in life, and many times when we experience a new thing, there's events that are new, there's new skills we learn, there's scenery that we see, and there's a certain newness to it. Sometimes there's a certain awe that goes along with it. You remember that first time you sat behind the steering wheel and controlled that car, or the first time when you just got your license. Some of you remember that a lot more clearly than some others. And as time goes on, that becomes, your focus at that time was really, really heavily on what you were doing. And now you, many of us jump in the car, start it up, don't even think about what we're doing, becomes automatic. First time you fly in an airplane, the excitement of it, and if you've done it several times, after a while, some of that diminishes. The awe of scenery. We lived in a house in Honduras for about 4 years, surrounded by mountains, but couldn't see them very well because it was just down in a little bit of a hollow. And we decided that if we ever buy a property or build a house, we will do it where we can see the mountains. And we did that. But we find that as time goes on, we take it for granted. And visitors come who've never seen it, and just exclaiming over the view on the drive to our place, maybe exclaiming about the drive because it's a very rough road, but exclaim about the view, and it reminds us of what we have. But we take it for granted. And sure, there's times when we see a new glimpse of that, certain mornings when the clouds are low and you see the mountains above the clouds and the clouds down in the valley. Other times when there's enough of a haze that you can see the contour of a mountain in a way that you don't see normally. You see depth to the mountain, little ridges here and there. But by and large, you take it for granted unless you stop to really think about it. And that happens to us over and over in life. New things, new experiences, the awe of them, the newness of it, and after a while you take it for granted. And it happens to us in the Christian life. You remember the day when you accepted the Lord and how the day following the sun was just so much brighter, the sky was so much bluer, life was so different, so wonderful, and you wish that could just last forever. But you soon realize that life gets back into a normal pace, a normal humdrum, and you start to take things for granted. And it's not life to experience everything in that vivid way all the time. That's just not life. But yet there's times when we need to stop and take another look at that, take another view, focus again on that view. And sometimes that happens through the eyes of a new Christian that we relate to closely, and we begin to realize anew what we have because we see it through their eyes. Sometimes it takes a place in an intense experience in our Christian lives, and we take another glimpse of that. And this morning, I'd like to invite you to Colossians, and I would like to just draw our minds to Christ in Colossians. The depiction of Christ, it's not something new, but perhaps we can point out certain aspects of what we really have in Christ. Things that perhaps we've been taking for granted the last several months or the last several years or the last several weeks. And just another fresh look at what is Christ to me. And as with any study of the Bible, it's, well, Paul says that Christ in the ages to come is going to show us the riches of his grace. And so we're not going to be exhaustive this morning. We're not going to completely get to the bottom of it, but just focusing on several points here that we see of Christ in Colossians. And I'd like to start at Colossians 1, verse 9, read several verses, and we'll just be browsing through the book of Colossians and pointing out who Christ is, as depicted in Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." I'd like to just stop there for a little. Notice in verse 13, just the phrase that we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. I just notice Christ is king. Christ is a king with his own kingdom. And we understand that there are two kingdoms, but it's a real king and a real kingdom. And Christ, as king, is sovereign. As he is a sovereign in that he can say, "Mark," and it's his own kingdom. And those of us, and it's a voluntary kingdom, and that we choose to become a part of that. And yet it's a kingdom that he is still sovereign over, even those who choose not to be a part of it. But as king, he is a king because he, one, is creator, and we'll see that shortly, but also because he bought us. And then we see in verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And verse 20 to 22, "that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross." And I know we have over and over, and some of you have been Christians for maybe more than 60 years, some for 10 years, some for 1 year. Most of us have grown up hearing this message. But just remind us again that Christ, through his own blood, reconciled us to himself. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, we who had rejected him, we who deserved death, Christ made that first move for me and you. And I know as life goes on, we don't appreciate that enough. We go into the humdrum of life, we take it for granted. But it's something that's very, very important to our very spiritual existence and our very spiritual destiny. That Christ we have redemption through his blood. That Christ gave up everything for me. Christ gave up everything for you. And through his blood, he reconciled us to himself. He made that move and reached out and brought us to him. Sacrificed all to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Christ took a filthy rebel, gave himself to turn him into somebody that's holy and unreprovable and blameless. That's our Christ. That's our Savior. That's what he did for you and for me. So he's also a king because he bought us and he gave himself for us and he chose us. We see that Christ is a creator, verse 16 and 17. He's the creator of all things. All things are created by him, and all things are created for him. By the word of God, this universe was created. Who is that word? Christ is the word of God. By Christ, all things exist by him, and they were also created for him. And then we see that he is the head. He is the firstborn. In verses 15 and 18, that Christ is the very image of God, and he is the beginning, the firstborn as creator, and he is in all things, he can have the preeminence. He is the priority. He is the first. He is the chief place, the preeminent, the preeminence of Christ, that he's the most important of all in all things. And again, we know all this, but again, let's just focus on that. What is Christ to me? Does Christ have that preeminent place in your life that he deserves? Does Christ is over all as creator. He deserves to be over all. As king, he deserves to be over all. He deserves that first chief place. Now I'd like to move on to chapter 2. And specifically as we read these next several verses, think of the fact that all wisdom is found in Christ. There's a warning here, don't be deceived. All wisdom is found in Christ. And if we step back to what we just noticed, that Christ as creator of all things, it's only logical that all wisdom is found in Christ. Because he is the source of everything we see. He's the source of everything we know. He's the source of all things. So it's only logical that he's the source of all wisdom. And what does that mean to us? I'm going to read verse 1 to 4 and then 8 to 10 of chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to repeat that. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So back to that thought, all wisdom is found in Christ. What does that mean to me today? We benefit tremendously from things that people have written down, from thoughts people have shared with us, from books, from all sources of information. We receive from a lot of sources of information, and we benefit tremendously from them. But there's a warning here. In verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In this age of electronic connection and the amount of propagation of data and information and through the printing press and through electronic, we have at our fingertips, thousands of sources of information. There's experts, philosophies on child training, on finances, on relating to people, on whatever subject you want to look up, you can find it. And there's experts speaking into these things. And you can get them on books and seminars and podcasts in many, many different ways. But those things are only as good as they are biblical. They're only as good as they are after Christ. And I think many times with that abundance of information, it's very easy to, and many of them are Christian. Many of those sources are Christian. But it's very easy to have false concepts, humanism, many different false concepts intertwined with these Christian sources. And verse 3 tells us that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Through the message of Christ, we have the answers. And yes, we can benefit from other people sharing their thoughts, but Christ's message, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not 95% of them. Not 99% of them, but all. And the better we know Christ's message, the better we can face those perplexities of life. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All these other sources, as good as some of it may be, they're only as good as they are after Christ. And many times it's easier for us to read, pick up a book and read it and get answers to practical things of life. It's much easier to do that if it seems a lot more readable, a lot more digested already, than to pick up this word and look for the answer to the practical questions of life. But in Christ are hid, they're also hid, but he wants us to find it. He wants us to find those answers, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And how is that so? Verse 9, for in him, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is completely God, and he's the source of all good information. All the fullness of God is in Christ. All his omniscience, He's the omniscient creator. He created us. He created wisdom, or it has its origin with him. So why wouldn't he be the answer to everything that pertains to life and godliness, as 2 Peter 1:3 says, that he hath given to us according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Again, through Christ are given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And yes, we say it, we know it, that we hold the key to life's questions and answers. Is it a faith that moves us to action? Or do we simply take it for granted? Many times we just take it for granted. And many times we even go to other sources. And not that other sources are all wrong, but they're only as good as they are after Christ. In verse 10, we are complete in him. Here we have the God, the Christ, that in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he wants to make us complete. And again, this is something that Christ did for us as Savior, as Redeemer, taking us, translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son, making us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, and making us complete. How many of us feel complete this morning? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we feel our inadequacies. But this is something Christ does. He makes us complete in him, only as we're in him. I know it's not something we deserve. It's not something we have earned. It's not something we have attained to. But he asks us to be in him. Then that would imply that apart from him, we're not complete. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Thinking of being in him and complete in him. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's go down to verse 10. It tells us in those verses in between about what we should put off. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So now as we are in Christ, what does that mean? It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Our life is now an identity in Christ, made complete in Him. And to be dead to the world, as the verses that we omitted there in verse 5 to 9, to be mortify those things, to kill them, to be dead to them, but alive to Christ. And we become complete in Him. We become unblameable and holy and unreprovable in Christ as we mortify those things, as we have our affection set in heaven. And again, we would like to just retain that awe and that newness and that vividness of a focus of heaven. And we must keep refocusing. No, it won't always be present in our minds like some days. But we must keep refocusing because we will not be here always. This is not our home. And we love to come back home to Ohio. And we're glad to go back home to Honduras. But this is not our home. And we must keep refocusing on the eternal, on where our true home is and what really, really matters in life. In verses 10 through 17, the focus on the change that it makes in our life, that putting on the new man. And then Paul gives us several practical things that I believe are showing us who Christ is, because of who Christ is, what we are, what we should be. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect, as the chosen of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. And those are all beautiful concepts. When we get in the thick of the battle and thick of relationships, those things are very easy to just kind of let to one side. But he tells us to put those things on in those tough times, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Putting on Christ, refocusing, who am I? Who is Christ? What does he mean to me? And I see, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I see here a sponge that's completely saturated with water. Is that who I am with Christ in my life? Am I as saturated as possibly can be with Christ? That it comes out at every pore. Just filled through and through. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And just coming out of our lives, teaching and admonishing one another. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, we need to keep coming back and refocusing. Because Christ has given up everything for us. And he is all and in all. Just let it dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. In all wisdom. Dwelling, inhabiting, living, moving in, and staying there. Let it dwell in you. How much is Christ's message a part of my life? How much is it a part of my thoughts? Again, it takes a continual refocusing. To make that in a disciplining of our minds. To make that our center focus, that all the decisions we make spring out of that. It's a resident. It takes up residence in our life. It dwells in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And then in verse 23 and 24, again, whatever we do, What comes out of our life then is done for Christ. Because Christ is our King. Christ is our Creator. Christ is our Redeemer. Christ is the one who took us from being filthy, slaves to our own self, slave to our own, to the pleasures of sin, and brought us into His kingdom. And He's the one who has all the answers for life. So whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So I know it's not been a lot of thoughts this morning, but if we could just somehow bring our thoughts toward Christ again. Take a new look at those mountains, at that scenery. Take a new look at that experience. Take a new look at our Christian life. Take a new look at who Christ is and regain a new appreciation for Him. I'd just like to encourage each one. Let's be faithful. Christ is all. Christ is everything we need, and He has everything we need. Let's kneel for prayer.